Today, Pastor Ray Bentley warns us about idols, false gods.
Of all the gods, ancient and modern, they want something from you. And they will trade with you and give you things that make you think, oh, you're getting special favors. But in the end, they want to control you. Every other god wants control. There's only one God who says, I don't want control. I want a relationship.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. God Almighty wants a pure one-on-one relationship with His children. And He says openly, He doesn't want us to have any other gods before Him. But there are many things in this world that want to come between us and our God. And today, Pastor A warns us about those dangers and how to resist.
Open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to be in chapters 11 and 12. And if you look at your notes, you'll see that the title of the message is a very interesting one this week. It's called Destroy the Idols. This was a command that God gave to the children of Israel 3,000 years ago. So chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 11, back to verse 22. The whole book of Deuteronomy is the final 30 days or the last month of their 40-year journey. They're literally on the edge of the Jordan River. Once the children of Israel cross onto the other side, they're in the promised land, which God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Moses is again reminding these kids, these next generation, be careful to obey the commandments which I command you to do, which he received from God, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to hold fast to him. Then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, which is the Mediterranean Ocean, shall be your territory. And then in verse 25, no man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he had said. So again, we're going to be dropping in, not a lot, but a few life lessons here this morning as we read through the scriptures. So the first life lesson is God the Father promises victory if we follow his footsteps. Stands to reason that we're the created, and that there is a creator, and the creator is more than just, you know, the God who spoke all things into existence. We find that he reveals himself as a father who loves his children. His ultimate desire is that he would bless the whole earth, all the nations of the earth. But he had to start somewhere, and he started with Abraham, and from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then their 12 sons. A nation grew that, well, it started with 70 down in Egypt, and then they multiplied and increased to several million, but they were in 400 years of slavery, and then God delivered them and set them free. So now he is instructing this new generation, follow the footsteps. God promised them victory wherever they were willing to walk. Now think about this. Once you cross the Jordan River and get to the other side, from that moment, whether you go north and walk north, God will give you that. If you walk all the way to the Mediterranean, west, he will give you that. If you walk south to the border of Egypt, he will give you that. Literally, when you're in the right place of the promised land, wherever your foot steps, God says, I will give you. Hallelujah. When you're following his footsteps, and he will give you those footsteps. Now, this is similar. Let's bring a parallel to us, the church. Here we are thousands of years later. Now, you know, Moses was a prototype picture of the coming Messiah. And Moses, there were two times he ascended the mountain where the cloud of the glory of God was. The first time, God gave him the Ten Commandments. These are my commandments. You know, follow these footsteps and you will be blessed. Moses came down, they're worshiping idols, and Moses took the Ten Commandments, threw them down and broke them into a million pieces. Just so that was a type of Jesus in his first coming 2,000 years ago, whose mission and purpose as he was sent from heaven was that his body would be broken, that he would lay down his life. He said, nobody's taking my life. I offer my life. I give my life. And his body was broken and his blood was shed that we might be saved. But then Moses went back up the mountain a second time after the broken commandments. And there he came back down talking to God face to face. His face is shining with the glory of the Lord. And Moses came down with a new set of commandments, but this time he had the glory of God. And that is a picture of the second coming of Jesus, when he shall come again and he shall rule and he shall reign and his glory will be upon the earth. And the deserts, when he touches, I love this, when he touches the foot of the Mount of Olives, it shall split in half. It says that the deserts will blossom as the rose. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. The lame shall walk. The deaf shall hear. The blind shall see. The dumb shall speak. And they shall learn war no more. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. We are told that today, the last statistic I heard was, there are enough weapons of mass destruction right now on planet Earth to destroy the world about 23 times over. We could kill all 8 billion people 23 times. Does anybody think that's insane? Crazy. We're so smart, really? And we can't get rid of war, we can't get rid of abuse, we can't get rid of all these things. So God sent his word and he sent his law, and then that prepared the way for him to send his son. And there is a life of the Spirit available to every child of God for the taking. All the promises of God. There are about 7,000 promises in the Bible. And every one of them is yes and amen. When you put your foot on it and you read through the word, when you find a promise, claim it and say, Lord, I claim this promise for me personally, right here today. And you can walk upon it, you can claim it, and you can experience it. So he goes on to say, beginning in verse 26, he says, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods, which you have not known. And so he basically is warning them there that there's two ways to go. You can either have a blessed life by your Father and the creator of the universe, where he uses all of his power to bless you beyond your wildest dreams, or you can be cursed. How many this morning would say, I want to be blessed? I want to walk in the blessing of the Lord. I want to follow his footsteps, okay? So now, chapter 12, go to chapter 12. We're going to read the first four verses. So Moses continues his motivational speech, and a very interesting thing he says. He says, these are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess, all the days that you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. And you shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. So here's the second life lesson that we need to make an application of today. To experience God's presence in worship, we must destroy all idols. If there's one thing that we see everywhere in the book of Deuteronomy, in other words, in this last speech that was given to the children of Israel, it is the laws against idolatry and worshiping foreign gods. It literally is in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And not only this, not only are we to destroy idols and altars and anything associated with them, but Moses goes on to add, we should not worship God through any means or rituals that were used in idol worship. In other words, the patterns and the memes and the ways that you worshiped idols, God said, I detest all of that, and you will not worship me, the one true God, in that way. So, now in ancient times, some would have a god of war. If you went to battle, you had a war god. But I have found this, that there is one God virtually every civilization that has ever existed. In ancient times, they almost all had this one God in common, the God of fertility. The Egyptians, the Norse, and the other part of the world, the Mayans, they appeased the fertility God, which was always linked also to rain. And the idea was, why? In order to give them children. The value of having children in the ancient world is not as well appreciated as it is in modern times. I mean, it is on an emotional level, but there it was very practical. Especially in an agricultural society, the more children to them, you had more to help, to bring in the crops, more to share, and more joy and all the rest of it. Idols always give you, the worshiper, a measure of control. It's always a deal. It's always a bargain. Well, these anxieties were even greater in the ancient world, where a bad crop could cause famine, people could starve, where childhood mortality was the norm, and where women would die just delivering the child after doing everything to get pregnant. Finally, 9 months later, when the child's coming, the woman dies, and it happened often, so often that it was very frightening and very scary. So the idea that I can do something to a God and win some measure of control in this area of my life was very attractive. And this is the promise of polytheism. But again, in polytheism, worship is derived from fear. The beauty of monotheism, that there's one God, one supreme God who rules and reigns over all, is that you don't have to pick him. He exists. You don't find him. He reveals himself. He loves you, and he desires a relationship with you and is willing to sacrifice, give, and do whatever it takes in order to adopt you if you're willing to enter into a relationship with him. I don't bargain with him. Yes, I do give him things, and I give worship to him, but it's out of love. It's out of gratitude. It's out of relationship. It's like when a little boy or a little girl goes to school and the teacher has them, it's going to be Mother's Day or Father's Day that weekend, and they make their own card with their own little crayons, and they come with this weird, messy little picture to mom or dad. The value is not in the gift. There's no financial gain from the gift, but there is something emotionally that happens to the heart of a mom or a dad from their own son or daughter who made something with their own hands simply because they love them and are honoring them. So that's what God had in mind with all of his offerings that were to be given to him. It's about building relationship. Now, here's what can happen. You discover that there is the one true God. You hear the gospel and you become a follower and a believer in Jesus Christ. But along the way of your Christian journey, other competing idols, strongholds, begin to come, and they want to steal, and they want to rob, and they want to take away. Now, let's look at this. How many of you think, honest question, so we're talking about 3,000 years ago and people in ancient times and having their idols. How many of you believe that there actually are modern idols? Oh, yes, there are. What is an idol? An idol is anything other than the one true God that you obsess over. You obsess it with your mind. It obsesses your emotions. It obsesses your time. It obsesses your heart. You give yourself to that to the exclusion of others, even that you love and that are close to you. It becomes an idol, and it drains you. Now, I don't have to tell you that one of the idols of our time, you know, to talk about ancient times, they had a lot of immorality involved in lots of these gods and goddesses and fertility and all the rest. But the idea of sexuality and immorality and giving yourself to live for the flesh, that's the contrast. Whether a man or a woman will live after the spirit first, and then the fleshly desires are under the, as it were, control of the spirit in righteousness, holiness, and purity, but you become turned inside out and you live for the demands and the drives of your selfish flesh at the expense of others. That's constantly contrasted in the New Testament. But here we live in a time where because, you know, even if you're not looking for it, you don't want it, you're not asking for it, you're not searching for it, pornographic images, immoral images, all kinds of stuff comes. In the past, you had to go and find it and pursue it. Now it comes to you, unasked for and unwanted. And there it is. And it become a trap, and it can become an addiction, and it can become an obsession. So what does God's word say about that idol that could destroy your marriage, your relationships, your focus, your career? He says, destroy the idol. Can I hear an amen on that? Do you hear me? What I'm saying? And there are other idols. Let me ask you this question. Is it possible that in our modern times that technology could be an idol? Now I know that none of you think of this could possibly ever be an idol, but can it be? Obsessed where you're sitting down at dinner and you're totally focused in the room. Right? Did you just check the score of the game? No! You give her a hug and you're looking at the... And she feels, what, are you looking? No, I just... It's your idol. Oh, those words, your idol. So then it becomes your job to find her when she's looking at her phone. I'm texting your daughter. Then why do I see a pair of shoes on your phone? No. Hey, it can be, can it? Technology can be an idol. Living in a viral world as opposed to the real world can be an idol. Notice then what it says here. Destroying my idols means I'm no longer afraid of totally surrendering to God. I worship Him, love Him, trust Him alone to provide all of my needs, my food, my clothing, you know, He takes care of everything in my life. It is all in His hands. And then, so worship in an invitation to God's home. I want you to look at verses 5-7. We're going to wrap this up, beginning in verse 5 of chapter 12. So after getting rid of the idols, he says, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, and there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. God said, I want you to come to my house. Moses was inviting them to come to the house of the Lord, to the tabernacle originally, but ultimately the temple, which was filled with the supernatural Shekinah glory of God. When King Solomon dedicated the temple on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, he prayed and asked that God would make that place the place that he put his holy name upon the temple. And God responded, and he said this in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3 is in your notes. Let's read this out loud. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. And God goes on to say, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Now imagine that you are a common man and you receive an invitation from the greatest king. Come to my palace, spend time with me, bring your family, and come to my banqueting table. I just want to eat and fellowship and get to know you and spend time with you. How blessed would that man be? How hurriedly he would run to the king's palace. Do you know this is what Jesus offers to all of us now through prayer? He invites us into his Father's house eternally. And so we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 2. Let's read this out loud. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And the beautiful thing is, he doesn't just invite us into his heavenly throne room as guests. He invites us into his heavenly throne room as his own family. We get to be family. We get to be born again into a royal family where royal blood now flows in and through our veins through the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus, we will sit at the table in the kingdom with all of our family and with all the saints who have gone before us. It reminds us that really, Jesus himself is the holy, eternal temple of God. God's name is on his Son, Jesus. God's presence remains and is manifest through his Son, Jesus, forever. For we read in Colossians 2:9, for in him, Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then I love this last scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read it. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess, whether it's in heaven or on earth or under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley with good encouragement today about honoring God and destroying idols. Glad you've tuned in for our studies in Deuteronomy. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, Destroy the Idols. It's available on CD for just $7. And again, the title, Destroy the Idols. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us see God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you The Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road,
San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.